Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for calling Life, Love, and Full Enlightenment. And tonight we're talking about whether it's overrated or I'm irritated, how to maintain when sexual appetites differ. Tonight I have A. Michelle with me again. Hey, A.
Hey, hello, hello, ladies. Thank you for calling
in. How's everything going?
Everything is going great. I'm excited tonight about this topic. Everyone loves talking about sex. And sometimes we don't always have the same expectation and opinions on sex, so this is going to be a very interesting night.
Yes, it will. So I'm looking forward to everything going well tonight. So let's get right down to it. Let's talk a little bit about how sexual appetites can differ and how that's not a bad thing unless it goes too far south.
Okay. So
Go ahead.
I think the first question that we should ask all the callers, how important is sex to you? That's a question that we should always determine when we first get in a relationship with someone, because that answer is not always black and white, and it differs for a lot of people.
Well, yes, it does, and I think actually rather than talking about it when you get into a relationship, that's probably something that you should talk about before you decide to enter into that relationship. A lot of times we think we can work things out once we get the relationship going, but that's what the dating and courting, the courtship period is all about, to ask those questions about those things so that you can have a fair assessment as to what and who you're dealing with. Tonight, callers who are just checking in, we're talking about sex and whether it's overrated or if you're really irritated, and we're talking about how to maintain when your sexual appetites in the relationship differ. So we're picking up and saying, talking about how many people actually talk about their sexual desires and appetites and likes and dislikes when they're in that early dating period before they decide, hey, this is a person I think I want to take it to that next level. Anybody want to jump in on that? Hello? Okay, I thought someone was saying I'd like to talk about it. Do you guys think that's a good idea that you would share that information up front? Someone has some background talking going on and we can hear you. Okay, go ahead, A. Michelle.
I definitely think that's something that must be established, because sex can break a relationship, it can definitely be a deal breaker. So, like you stated, you need to establish that during the courtship period. And if you two do not share, if your views on the importance of sex is far apart, then you definitely should caution before proceeding with the intimate relationship, because sometimes the pressures of sex could sometimes come off as a job and a chore, and that will cause your sex drive to decrease even more. So to really establish how important sex is I believe it's almost as necessary as some of the other key things in a relationship.
Well, I agree with that. Many times people focus more on whether or not you have a job, whether you have your own place. Do you have a car? You know, what are your interests? Where do you see yourself going in the next 5 years, 5 to 10 years? People tend to focus more on that when, at the end of the day, when you're in an intimate relationship, an intimate loving relationship, sex is a part of it, and we can say that, you know, it's really not that important, but sex can make or break a relationship, because when a person is feeling neglected physically, and we cannot forget that our initiation into the world is physical. We're touched all the time as babies. We're held. We're coddled. So that is something you have an introduction to from the time you are born. And it's something that we as humans don't really move that far away from. So every now and then there is a need, and it is important that you have sexual and physical intimacy between the two of you. And now what we're saying, we're not saying that one is bad and the other is good, whereas the person who has a lower sex drive may think the higher drive is a bad thing. The person with the higher drive thinks that the person who won't do it as much as they'd like to have it done, they think that's a bad thing. What we're trying to get everyone away from is believing that either one of you are bad, you're different. And that's the key that you have to remember, that there is a difference. But in that difference, you got to meet in the middle somewhere and have some common ground. We have some callers in. We'll tell you how we do this. I call out your area code and the last 4 digits of your number. And if you want to say something, you can just call out your last 4 digits of your number so I know what number is talking at the time, and we could go on. So anyone have any comments or any questions on what has been said thus far? Anyone out there listening? And we do want to let you know that there are no questions that are off limits, and what's said here kind of remains here. We don't ask for any names, and the whole point is to have an open forum for you to be able to talk as well as the host are talking. So feel free to jump in any time that you want. So let's talk a little bit about differences and how they can creep up on you out of nowhere, or they seem to creep up out of nowhere. Hey, Michelle, you want to start on that one?
No, you go ahead and take that away.
Okay. When you're in that early stage of dating, everything is hot. Everything is exciting. You want to touch one another all the time. You want to kiss. You want to hug. You want to do all of that. And we kind of call that the honeymoon period, because you're very excitable and you're extremely interested, and everything is new and shiny and bright, and you're really into one another. And then as the time goes on throughout your process of dating, life has a way of creeping in. and all of that, the shininess isn't as shiny as anymore, and it doesn't mean that your relationship is bad now. You just aren't into it in the same manner, because now you got work and you have this deadline to meet, and you're coming home and you're tired, and you have a meeting at the school, and you got kids to sweep off, and you have all of these things that are going on in life that happens that kind of starts to take some of that shine away from the early parts of your relationship, and then all of a sudden you find yourself not getting into bed at the same time, not getting out of bed at the same time, I'm too tired, and all of those kinds of things. So then you start to see how the sex drives start to differ. Initially, you don't see that because initially you're all over one another. So you can't tell that you really have a big difference in appetites of your sex drives. And so it makes it, you know, it kind of looks like it creeps up on you out of nowhere, and it kind of seems like the person has changed on you, but they really haven't. That's their drive. That's their normal sex drive. Now that you're not in the honeymoon period anymore, that's their normal sex drive. And so we want to talk about how you work your way through that without starting to become angry with one another, without becoming bitter about what's going on, without engaging in unnecessary fights, and how to really bridge that, and some of the things you can do, because also how not to take it personal. And now that's the toughest part that you're going to have, not taking it personal, because sex is a personal thing. You'll start to think, well, do they not find me attractive anymore? Have I gained too much weight? Or is there something about me that they don't find attractive anymore? All those things will go through the person's head who so desperately wants that physical relationship with their partner and the person that they love, and they feel as though they're being denied. So let's talk a little bit about that and how we can work through that so that it doesn't cause the relationship to go south and now you're looking to separate and move on or do things that will be detrimental to the relationship. I have caller 317-8828. Do you have anything you want to add to that?
Are we drawing a line between sex and intimacy?
Here's what we're going to say. In a relationship, in a marriage, a relationship where you're only dating one other person in a monogamous relationship, in those type of relationships, there is no line. There is no difference between sex and intimacy at the level of whether or not it's going to cause problems in your relationship, because sometimes you're going to be making love because you're really into it, and you want to give yourself over freely, and you want to share yourself with that person. And these are the things we're talking about with the differing of sexual appetites. And there are going to be times where you're going to have sex. You can't wait in a relationship, especially you have to be able to compromise. You can't wait to always make love. Sometimes you're going to be having sex when you're not in the mood, because if your partner has a higher sex drive and you have a lower sex drive and they have to always wait on you to be in the mood, they might have sex 3 times a year.
No, I think when I was referring to intimacy, I was not referring to the physical touching in that manner. I was referring to cuddling, kissing, a connection that didn't involve the actual doing it, for lack of better words. So
in that case, yes, we can draw a line between, we'll call that foreplay, or physical intimacy. We'll draw a line between that and actually having sex. So we'll draw a line.
And I think the reason that I say that is because as I listen to the conversation and we're talking about people's sexual drives being different, and if you have one that's on one end of the spectrum and the other one on the other end, one being high, one being low, it seems like to me that one of the ways to meet in the middle, and I know it's not to solve all, but would be to have intimacy without actually, you know, for the person that's kind of on the low end, you know, but the person on the high end may get some satisfaction just from that alone, just from the actual touching without actually going all the way.
That's an excellent solution and an excellent middle ground. That's an excellent middle ground. But the ground rules of that have to be set, because here's what happens, because by the time you're trying to negotiate in that way, because if you don't talk about all of this stuff in the beginning of the relationship or before you get into that relationship, after that you're trying to convince a person that it's not what they think it is. The reasons why you're not doing it isn't something that they've drummed up in their head. So with what you said, that's an excellent solution that they can bring to the table. And somehow the lower sex person, or it doesn't even have to be that far apart, but the person who isn't into it as much as the other person has to be able to believe that the foreplay is going to be enough. The cuddling is going to be enough, and it's not going to make the higher person want to lead them into doing more, because that's what's going to be in the back of their heads. If I do this, then they're going to want more. So I'm just not going to do anything at all. And in that negotiating process, that person with the higher level has to understand, this is my compromise. I'm going to have sexual intimacy with you. It's just not going to be where we're both going to be fully involved in it. I used to do a class called PM. We called it PM, and that's participatory masturbation. That's where one partner assists the other partner in masturbation because they're not in the mood for it right now, or they're just too tired, but to help relieve that tension from their partner or their husband or wife, they participate in assisting them in masturbation. That way they're still getting that touch, your partner's still getting that touch, and you don't have to be fully engaged. You don't have to receive anything on the other end as much as they desire to receive for you. So you're going to have to negotiate and work through that. That's a great point. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? I have caller here, 984-4271. Anything you want to add?
Yes, I was just getting ready to chime in. My question is, how do you know the difference between the honeymoon stage and what your actual libido is? Because in my relationships, I have a tendency to, when we start out, everything is hot and heavy, and you participate willingly in every time. But then as the relationship goes on, then because, you know, everyday life, you know, I'm not in the mood as much, and I'm not as willing. So how do you tell that difference of what's the honeymoon stage and what your actual libido is?
Well, let me ask you this. Are you not doing it simply because you're tired and you're not in the mood? Are you excited but you're just not in the mood? So I don't know how to answer your question.
Yeah, sometimes it's that. And then sometimes I think emotionally, maybe I'm I've kind of given too much emotionally, and then I'm just not, I'm not there. I don't want to participate.
Okay. Okay. So I'm going to give you a twofold answer. When it's about work or life, household duties, all of those, your children, church, you know, your involvement in a multitude of things, just like you carve out time for those things, you're going to have to find some time to carve out. You know I don't want to get up and go to work every day, but I go. So you have to carve out some time if it's on that tip. If it's some things that are going on in the relationship, and you're just not feeling that person at the moment, and or sometimes people will feel like this is all I have left, that I have control of, that they are not sucking dry, and so I'm going to keep it for myself, and I'm not going to share it. And that you're going to have to be very, very careful with, because that's about power. That's about you having some issues that you're not working through, and then using that intimacy as a form of control and power. So what I would suggest on that end, to test to see whether or not it's your libido or if it's the way you're feeling about them right now psychologically, is to start to sit down in that process and remember what it is that you love about that person. Remember what it was that brought the two of you together, and remember all of that stuff in the early ages. And if that brings back your juices, then it was your emotional state about them at the time. If you still have the Sahara and you're not interested, then it's your libido. You're just not feeling it at that moment.
Maybe.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, actually, I think you're right. I think it is more about power for me because of some things that have happened in my life. And so, yeah, there are times where I feel like, okay, this is what I have control over, and this is what I'm going to keep.
Yeah. So you, and when you start to feel that way, you need to sit down and really, that's an opportunity for you to be able to sit down and talk to your partner and say, hey, you know, this and that is happening, and I'm really feeling a certain way about it, and it makes me see you in a light that I can't give myself over to you right now, and we need to do something about that, because I don't want to utilize our intimacy in that way and see what they give back. Because see, all of they getting out of that is, you don't want to give me anything, and you're being selfish, and so, you know, what you want from me, what you want me to do? You know, you must want me to go out. You send them into a defense mode, and you don't want your partner to go into defense mode, and they shouldn't want you to go in defense mode sexually, because then we start doing silly things. We start doing stupid stuff when we get on a defense, especially regarding sex. Because, again, we desire to be touched, and we never grow out of that. Now, some people might not want to be touched as much, and it has a lot to do with some things that they've gone through in life. And that could be an issue also, you know. People have baggage that they're carrying along with them sexually. So there are a lot of things you have to bear in mind. That's why you have to have a discussion about sex, which is one of the things that people talk the least about when they're getting together with someone.
That's true. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else?
Yeah, I have a question. What if it's not about power? What if you just do not desire to be touched that much?
If you don't desire, again, now that goes back into what the caller earlier was saying, then you have to start finding different ways to give your partner pleasure other than for you to have to be touched yourself. Now, you have to ask your partner things like, is it okay with you if I just do you and we not take care of me? And if it is about their desire and their need, then they should be okay with that because you're still giving them an option to have what they need and desire. And is there or is your need and desire that you just have to be, you have to give me something? Because what I want you to give me right now is to give me an opportunity to give you the pleasure that you desire. We got to learn how to talk, that we talked in order to keep that interest in that person in the early part of that relationship. You learn how to talk sensual to your partner so you can get them beyond what they're focused on so intently to meet their needs. So if you want to, if you just don't like to be touched as much, then you have to assist them more in participatory masturbation. You have to do more role play, or when you do it, you have to start to recondition your partner into understanding that it's not so much about the quantity of it, but the quality of it. So slow things down and take your time. If you're not going to do it as often, then you're going to have to take more time and give more arousals so that it's built up so largely so that when they release, they're good for a moment. So when we do a lot of quick sex and we don't do a lot of foreplay, you know, that person will try to keep you there all night, because they're having many orgasms. So depending on how many mini orgasms they can have before they have that big one, it's not being, but if you take your time with them, and this comes into starting to learn one another's bodies. You know, you're not just getting in there to be like on The Color Purple. He just get on me and do his business. You know, you're not trying to do that. That's an opportunity for you to know your partner in another way. That's your bond. That's your tie. Other than, because, see, you can cuddle with your friend. You can bring your friend to bed and cuddle. You can cuddle with your friend. You can hug them. You can hold their hand. You can cuddle with them all day long. That tie that bonds you, that extra tie that bonds you in your intimate relationship, is your physical sexual connection. So learn who they are there too and slow it down. That way they're so pleased and they've been so fulfilled that if you don't want to be touched for the next week or two, they might be good with it, because you're going to build them back up to that again. Don't play with them, but you're going to slowly build them back up to that spot again, so that when you're ready to be touched again, they get that ultimate treat. They get the full you at that time. But in between those times, you have to find other ways in order to bring them pleasure. I hope I'm answering your question.
You are.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else? Okay, let's talk about sometimes lower sex drives don't have to do with how you're feeling emotionally about the partner or whether your libido is really, really low. We're talking things like medication, which will lower a sex drive. We're talking about menopause, which not always lowers sexual drives, but it causes other things that make sex not so pleasing. So you're not interested in doing things that don't feel good to you physically. And let's talk about when people are upset with one another and they use sex as a tool. And we can also talk about people having unresolved issues in their past lives that cause them not to be so interested in engaging sexually. So, hey, Michelle, I haven't heard you talk for a moment.
I know, I've been wanting to jump in. But thanks for bringing me in. So one of the things that I wanted to address is you definitely have to resolve past issues. Sometimes if you're still holding on to a past relationship, that could cause your intimacy in a new relationship. If you're still holding on to some childhood issues or if you've been violated in the past, that can cause some issues in your current relationship. There are many factors that can cause some issues in your current relationship. So if you are the one with the lower sex drive, you definitely have to evaluate what's going on, what's causing it. Is it past issues? And if so, you need to go ahead and resolve those and possibly try to resolve those before you move on to a new relationship. Whether it's therapy, whatever it is that you need to do to try to resolve those, because in actuality, it's not fair to a new partner to withhold sex because of your past. That's no different than the baggage. That's just baggage you're bringing. And also, if it's your health, you definitely want to talk to your doctor to see what it is that you could do to increase your sex drive, definitely let your partner know about that so that they can be more understanding and compromise more. Instead of you just shutting down, you don't want to sex, you don't want to have sex because you're not in the mood, you cannot get excited, or if you are experiencing vaginal dryness, that can make you not be in the mood. So you definitely want to evaluate what's going on and try to address it so that there can be some resolve between the lower sex drive person and the higher sex drive. And communication is key. Communication is the key to everything. And also, if you're the kind of person that needs constant foreplay before you are in the mood, you want to definitely let your partner know that as well so that your partner can start initiating foreplay from the time you wake up. Good morning, beautiful. Check on you throughout the day, flirt with you throughout the day, so that when you do get home and you are drained and tired, you have something to kind of look forward to, because they've been getting you ready for all day with foreplay, with kind words. And the person with the higher sex drive also needs to pay attention to the things that they need. Sometimes they may need a little extra to be in the mood, and you have to be willing to give that little extra, and you have to be willing to be understanding to their past, to their medical issues, and any other things that they may be dealing with. But communication is the key to this whole piece. And keep in mind, if you're not having sex, you're nothing more than friends. Intimate relationship, you have intimate relationship with your friends. So the sex component, the physical intimacy component, that's very critical to your relationship, because without that, you are just friends.
And I do want to say that sometimes we don't want you to think that the lower sex drive people are the only people bringing in baggage from their past and bringing in sexual issues, because the higher sex drive people could have gone through the same thing, and they think that's what they were told is love, that is what they were told is how to show love. So that's their way of showing love. That's their language. And don't get me wrong, anytime you have any kind of physical sexual intimacy in a loving, committed relationship, that's your way of bonding and showing love. So it's not a bad thing, but we're talking about it's not just the low libidos that could have had sexual trauma. There are high libido people that have gone through sexual trauma, and that's why they're so sexual. That's why they're such a sexual being also. Also, we have to bear in mind that when you're older, as you get older, you can't do the same things in the same way that you used to do them when you were younger. And for those May-December relationships, you have to bear all of that in mind. So if you're the older person in the relationship and you're in a relationship with someone younger, they can go a little more than you can. They can go a little longer than you can, and they can do some things that you may not be able to do anymore. And that's where becoming creative sexually comes into hand. You got to start changing up your game. You may not be able to do things the same way you used to, and you have to start implementing other ways and new things and new ways to bring excitement into the bedroom, because you got to keep it fresh. You have to keep it fresh. I see we got some new callers. We have 317-1506. Welcome. 317-1455. Welcome. 317-3508. I'm just calling out new numbers that I see. 773-0815. Anyone have any questions out there?
No, I'm just listening. But I did want to comment. The young lady that stated, if you're not, and maybe I'll need her to repeat what she said so that I can make sure that I did understand her correctly. The young lady that stated, did you say if you're not intimate or if you're not having sex, then you're just friends? What did you say?
That is absolutely correct. That is the sexual intimacy component of it. That's what makes you different than your friend. That's what makes the relationship different than your friend girl.
So are you speaking about intimacy as well as physical intimacy, or you're just speaking just physical intimacy?
I'm just speaking physical intimacy.
She's saying if you remove the physical intimacy from your relationship, then you have a friend. That's the equivalent of just a friendship. Once you remove your physical intimacy from your intimate relationship, you don't have any more going on in that relationship than you have with your friend girl, is what she's saying.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not understanding that one.
Go ahead.
Here's my thing with that. Well, no,
okay.
I mean, I don't need her to explain anything anymore. I don't really think that I agree with that, because
okay.
I've been in my relationship for 9 years, okay? And when we first got together, just like every other new relationship, you know, we were hot and heavy and every day, 3-4 times a day and this, that, and the other. And then, you know, as we got older, you know, life changes and, you know, we've had some tragedies and things, you know, take up more time, and we just, you know, for lack of better terms, are not able to get it in like we were when we first got together. But there are some things, there are a whole lot of things, okay, that I do with her that I would never dream about doing with my friend. And so I guess I need to clarify, if you mean totally remove, you don't mean slow down, not as much. You mean just totally, if you're basically celibate. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
If you know, and again, when we first started talking, there is some understanding that your sex drive, your sexual relationship is not going to be the same as it was in the beginning. Because in the beginning, you're in the euphoric stage. You're in the honeymoon stage. So you cannot compare. I believe research shows that the honeymoon stage lasts roughly about 2 years. So you cannot compare the honeymoon stage to the actual relationship, because in that stage you're doing more, you are having sex more, you're experiencing euphoria. So you are going to be having sex more. So I'm not referring to comparing it to that. But if you totally remove sex from your relationship, you no longer have sex. You're just friends. I'm not talking about once a year, once a month, every 3 months. You're still having physical intimacy. But if you no longer have sex at all in your relationship, you've just become friends.
I see. I see. Okay.
Anybody else out there? Any questions? You don't. And here's the deal: we don't have to. We don't have to agree. But here's what I'm going to say: when you do relationships, when they break down, what is the difference between your relationship with your friends? And we're not. Don't get me wrong when we say you're nothing more than friends. We're not saying that there aren't special things that are just reserved for your partner that you will not do. But once you take sex out of your intimate relationship, the sex part, you may not do those special things with your friends, but there are some people where their relationship mirrors their friendships except for the sex. That is the only thing that differs in their relationship, and the numbers are higher than not. Where there are some people who, if you're not careful, you'll find out just how much their friend means to them, because you might look up one day in a situation and they're standing with their friend and not you. So there are some friendships that are extremely strong and that they do everything together. As a matter of fact, their friends might know what's going on in their life before their partner, and you don't get any more intimate than that with regard to psychological intimacy and emotional intimacy, where the first person you run to when something's going wrong or something's happening is your friend instead of your partner. There's that's some serious stuff. We're talking about when you completely take and remove sex. You're going on your third year, and you're not having any sexual, physical intimacy whatsoever. You have morphed into being friends. No matter what extra stuff that you have going on that you may not do with any of your friends, that's like saying that's my BFF now. You know, that's your BFF, So you've taken that one thing that separates friendship, just a regular friendship or any kind of friendship, away from that. That's that separator, because most of us won't sleep with our friends. We won't ruin our friendship by doing that. So most of us don't sleep with our friends. So that one thing that separates our relationship is that sexual intimacy. And if you're taking that away from it, then you're putting your partner into the friendship zone. They're a super special friend, but they're still in the friendship zone. We also need to talk about how we help ourselves, because we're all saying the same thing. We all know that, you know, life happens. It's going to happen whether we want it to or not, and we can have all of these wonderful intentions for our relationship that we want, but life happens and things change. Right. People have accidents. Absolutely. Someone gets hurt. Someone gets sick, you know, where they can't perform as much. But let's talk a little about romance and sacrifice, compromise, and I don't mean sacrifice in a negative way, compromise and coming to a happy medium so that we don't start lashing out at one another because we're so irritated and sexually frustrated that, you know, you don't even want, at this point, don't touch me, because if you touch me and you're not going to do anything else, I can't even look at you right now. So I'm going to wait until you go to sleep, and then I'll come to bed, or, you know, I'll sit up all night and we pass each other when we're getting dressed in the morning kind of things. We don't want people to get into those situations in a relationship because of sexual differences. And here's the deal. There isn't a relationship that exists where there isn't a difference in appetites. There's always going to be one person that enjoys doing something more than the other person in the relationship. And that's in every aspect of the relationship. There's always going to be someone who has, it's always going to be someone who likes to hug a little more than the other, who's always initiating more than the other, who likes to kiss more than the other, who wants to be fully intimate more than the other, or who could be just fine where participants. It's always, in every aspect of your relationship, one of the partners that are going to have a larger appetite than the other. And they, sometimes they're not far apart, and sometimes they're on the opposite end of the poles. So, again, it's not anything unusual, and there is nothing wrong with it. What goes wrong and when we go wrong is how we handle the difference. And what we start to do, how, you know, all of a sudden the person becomes a B-I-T-C-H to you, and she's just playing games, and, oh, all you want me for is my body, and all of those things that start to creep up into the relationship are the things that we're trying to curb and warn off and avoid people from having, because, you know, life happens and it changes, and we all have different, we're two individual people, so that are coming together trying to be one. And one without losing our individuality on top of that. So you have to remember that the person comes in with their own level of what of enjoyment as to what they like. And that's why we have to learn how to be very aware of when your partner, if your partner starts talking about intimacy in the morning when you wake up, and you're out about and they're extra cuddly and everything with you, and they talk about it at dinner and all of that stuff, and you come home and they get themselves all geared and ready, you know that they're ready for sex. So don't go sit at the computer and all of that stuff. Either let them know that you're in the mood to do it, or you're not. Don't go sit at the computer and wait for them to go to sleep, and then when they wake up in the morning upset and angry, you know, and not understanding and feeling rejected and dejected, you went to sleep. That's on you. I was ready. You went to sleep. You can't do that, you know. You have to be upfront and honest. Because they've been prepping and getting ready. You didn't have to touch them at all. They've been readying themselves all day, because they're desiring you, and they've told you that ad nauseum. And to be fair to them, if you know you're not feeling it, just let them know. You know, baby, can I get a rain check on that? Or maybe can I just do you today, and you know, you catch me tomorrow or another day, you know. I don't want to have to get off tonight, but I don't mind helping you get off tonight. Is that okay with you? And they have to be willing to make that compromise, you know, because we got to get past that point where we got to have the whole kit and caboodle. You know, you don't have to have the whole thing. And if you like to have long, drawn-out sex and you know your partner isn't really into sex, then you're going to have to come back off of having to have that long, drawn-out sex and learn to enjoy a quickie every now and then. You know, because the truth of the matter is, it's not about just one of you. It's about both of you. And unfortunately, the assistance of that physical intimacy comes from the other person. So you can't say, well, go on in there and take care of yourself. I don't care. Because, you know, masturbation only works for so long for someone who wants the touch of someone else. And you got to be careful of letting your partner get comfortable with their own touch, because when you do touch them, you're not going to be able to help them, because they're not going to respond to your touch. Because they're comfortable now and they've gotten used to their touch. So we're in a relationship and we're trying to maintain and keep that relationship as healthy and as holistic as we possibly can. So we can't just think about, hey, I ain't in the mood right now, and I, you know, rather than arguing, fight, and get into it, I'm just not going to do anything at all. You turn to that person and you be sincere and with love. Baby, I'm not in the mood, but can I assist you? Tell me what I can do for you that doesn't entail me having to be fully involved, where you don't have to do me, because I don't want to receive tonight. I want to give. Now, that might be hard for those who are just receivers. But you've got to do something.
Yeah.
You can't just say no all the time.
That's true. Very true.
Any questions?
Nope.
Anybody got any questions? Someone else said they didn't agree. Let me hear your view.
No, I'm just listening for now.
All you could give me was I don't agree, huh?
I'm just listening. I disagree on the part that from what I'm taking, I think they're the same, that the sex controls your relationship, and if you're not having sex, then you're not in a relationship. I disagree with that.
Mm. I don't think that's what she was saying, though, but I'm not going to speak for her.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely not what I said. But, you know, this is an open forum, and Minister Dupree, she loves feedback, and as her co-host, I definitely support her format. And, again, you don't have to agree. This is open dialogue, and in life we are going to disagree and agree on different things. But as she was speaking, I'm one of those females that take their friendships very seriously. So there is no difference. The only difference between myself and my partner and my friends is sex. If my friends have someone that lose someone, I'm going to be right there. If my friend needs to get up and talk at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to be right there. If my friend needs money, I'm going to be right there. If I can do anything for my friend, I will, but I'm not going to have sex with my friend. So if I stop having sex with my partner altogether, we've been together 5 years, and I only had sex with her the first year, and the 4 years after that, I have not had sex with her, we have, in essence, transitioned to friendship. There is no intimacy there. I treat her
no
just
physical,
like my friend.
No physical.
That's what I'm saying, no type of intimacy. I don't stroke my friend's back and whisper in my friend. There are different levels of intimacy. I'm talking about if you remove all of the intimacy out of your relationship, you have transitioned into friendship. I'm not saying, because there are people that physically cannot have sex. There are people that physically can't do it. That doesn't mean that they're not deserving of a relationship or they're not in one. You just have to find other ways to be intimate.
See, that's what I was going to ask earlier, the difference between what is people's perception of intimacy and sexual intimacy. See, that's what my problem was. You can still be intimate. You just may not be physically able to be sexual. So
right. Well, that question, you probably came in a little late. That question got addressed earlier, if we were going to differentiate between the difference between intimacy and for lack of a better word, we separated it between intimacy and sex. And in relationships, you have them both. You have both physical intimacy and non-physical intimacy that's going on within your relationship. And there are levels of physical intimacy that you could have, which goes into that line of those different things that you can do. Cuddling is a form of intimacy. Kissing,
right.
The rubbing of the hair, even if you comb one another's hair, shampooing one another's hair is a form of intimacy. Helping someone get dressed is a form of intimacy. But none of those, we're talking about sexual appetites and how to maintain a relationship when you have sexual appetite differences. So we're not just talking about intimacy in the big picture, in the greater scheme of it. So I do apologize for if that wasn't made clear, or if we didn't go back and repeat that, because we're not saying you don't have intimacy at all, but we're saying you cannot, unless there is something physically wrong or medically wrong, remove sexual intimacy from the relationship and think – that the person is going to deem you anything more than a friend. One of the things we need to address before we leave is that we have to be honest about just how important sex is to us early on in the relationship. For some people, it's more important than others, which is why I know a lot of people, no matter their age, they'll tell you sex is overrated. And, you know, somebody like me will tell you, you're just not doing it right. But that's me, because I'm a very sexual person. That's me. And everybody's not like that. So, you know, I'm a person that I could talk about sex all day and not get bored and never run out of information to share and will soak in everything that you have. But everybody's not like that. So you have to have those discussions early on so people know what they're getting, so that there's no anger people saying very hurtful, mean things when you're just being yourself and being who you are. So if anybody has any hints out there, you know, because people have sex for different reasons. Some people engage in sex simply to relieve stress. You know, some people want to foster a feeling of closeness with their relationship aside from the other intimate things that they're doing. Those are some of the things that people resolve sex in their mind as being reasons for doing it. Some people want to satisfy. Some people have sexual addictions, and they're just satisfying their addiction, you know. They want to alleviate a feeling of failure and feeling inadequate. A lot of people, when they've had a really bad day at work and things aren't going well, they'll come home and they'll desire you sexually because they want to feel good about themselves. And sex tends, when done with care and love, tends to make you feel good and feel good about yourself. So there are a lot of reasons that your partner will be requesting sex, but there are conversations that have to be had, and we can maintain a relationship and maintain a very healthy relationship with differencing sexual appetites. They can, but you have to have those discussions, and you have to institute other means. But those people who think they want to remain in their relationship, but they just don't want to have sex, and this will probably start up a whole different conversation, you may have to open your relationship up. But lay your rules down. Don't just open it up and be willy-nilly. Lay your rules down. You may have to have an open relationship, you know, if you want to keep your partner and everything else is going fine and you just don't want to change your mind about how often or how much, you may want to open that door. It's a bad door to open.
Absolutely.
But you better lay down all your rules when you do it. You know,
yeah.
It's, you just have to find those things that are going to work, that are going to work for both of you. Don't overcompromise yourself.
Mm-hmm.
To keep anybody.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not, if they come to you for an open relationship and an open relationship is not something you want, do not agree to it. Don't agree to it. If you know that's not something you want, don't agree to it. But you want to have a compromise that will work for all of you. So as we're coming to a close, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what we have on the line tonight or who we have, but we're coming to a close. Again, my name is Minister Jeffrey Aldrich, and I have A. Michelle Grogan on the line, who is a certified life coach. You can find us both on Facebook. I'm also Creme de la Creme on Facebook, and you can come to my page, which is giving more information and talks and write-ups on life, love, and full enlightenment. You can click to follow this on the blog radio talk show, Life, Love, and Full Enlightenment. That way you'll have all of the when the shows are coming up and everything, and they'll keep you abreast on anything new that's posted up or recorded. I can be reached on Facebook. We're always here every Thursday at 8 p.m. And we're going to be closing and wrapping things up. Thank you again for joining me tonight and joining HL. I want to thank everyone for participating. You were wonderful, and let's take it out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Then come on, spin.
Let's talk about sex, baby.